Really great to see everyone here tonight. So happy to be with you. If you haven't already had the chance to rename yourself and you'd like to, we'd love to have you rename yourself with your pronouns. If you go onto your own little block and go up to the three little dots right there, rename should be an option. You can put in your name, pronouns, and even the native land you're on. I use she, her pronouns. I'm currently residing on Sacklan Miwok land, colonially known as Moraga, California. I'm white bodied, cisgendered, femme queer. Really happy to be here with you tonight and really happy to share space. And so, just for a moment, let's just take in our shared space here together, right? Like, take in your location. The objects around you, right? How amazing it is to be able to do this from your own home in your own space, right? And even like the amazing complicatedness of being able to participate with others in Sangha as Sangha, right? Via this transfer of light and energy through air and space. It's pretty amazing. And just taking this shared space together around everyone arriving from different experiences to spend this time together. And take a moment in your body to just acknowledge, what are you bringing here with you tonight? What are you arriving here with? What are you holding in the whole of your life today, right now, in the larger picture, in the smaller picture? And I invite you to notice that you have a body. And notice how the practice and the talk and discussion all land in your body tonight. And feel free at any point to get whatever you need for your body to be comfortable here. Blankets or pillows, you can feel free to sit up, you can feel free to lay down, to be in whatever position is comfortable for your body moment to moment. And honor whatever access needs you might have as well, and feel free to reach out to Emiko for support for those. So tonight we'll start out with our meditation, and we're going to practice just being gentle with whatever's arising in the midst of the space we're creating here together, the space that we're creating within ourselves. Right, my teacher Tanisara talks about aligning yourself with the indwelling spirit. And I really love that way of thinking about it, aligning yourself with the indwelling spirit. So I'm going to invite you to focus on the sensations of the breath and the body, which are first foundation of mindfulness. And then as you notice thoughts arising, because probably they will. I want to invite you to meet them with a lot of friendliness and gentleness as you invite yourself back to the breath. Right? Irina Weissman, I love her way of talking about this. She says, to notice a thought and then to accompany yourself back to the breath. So that's the invitation. So go ahead and find a relatively comfortable position to practice in. Sitting, standing, lying down, whatever makes sense in your body this evening. You can let yourself settle in. Close your eyes if that's comfortable. Go ahead as you settle into your body. Notice the earth, that quality of earth, of solidity and stability that's supporting you. Feel it against your legs, against your back, maybe even against your head. And with your inhale, invite in lots of space and openness through the chest, through the shoulders. See if you can draw the shoulder blades a little further back onto the back. On your exhale, let yourself feel the support underneath you. Again, inhale and lengthen, draw in space and length all the way up through the entire length of your spine. And keeping that length, keeping that opening on your exhale, invite yourself to feel that deep support of the earth underneath you. And as you breathe here, notice how your inhale lifts your chest and your belly, and how your exhale lets your chest and belly soften and release. Notice maybe your chest and belly are easy to follow the breath with. Or maybe there's some other part of your body that's easier, maybe through the back of the throat, maybe through the nostrils or along the upper lip. Wherever the breath is clear for you, let that be the place you return to again and again. The breath is your anchor in the present moment. That you can simply shift your attention to the sensations of the breath moving through the body to arrive once again here at home. Home in this infinity of the present moment. Feel wherever your feet are resting. You don't have to adjust them or move them in any way. See if you can feel them from the inside. Notice if they feel warm or cool, tense or relaxed. Simply feel their aliveness. Notice where your hands are resting, again, without having to adjust them or change them in any way. See if you can feel their readiness even when they're at ease. Feel the aliveness of the hands, wherever they are. Just remember, reminding yourself that you can bring your attention back from wherever the thoughts might take you. That simple shift of your awareness back to the breath, back to the sensations in the body, and you arrive at home once again in the present moment. And when thoughts arise, you can be very gentle, very kind towards them, not making them a problem, not needing to judge them. Acknowledging them, bowing to them. And then gently accompany yourself back to the breath. With so much friendliness, so much gentleness. Accompanying yourself home. Once again, in this moment. Notice what's here. Notice what's arising. Maybe there's restlessness or sleepiness. Maybe there's sort of the life review of the day, rehearsed arguments, maybe doubt, right? That question of, am I doing this right? And just notice. Notice whatever's here arising in the body, the thoughts arising in the mind, feelings arising in the heart. And see if you can acknowledge whatever's here so gently, with so much friendliness. Ah, yes, this too. And then without judgment, without giving yourself a hard time, gently turn your attention back to these sensations of the breath moving through the body resting in this moment. What are you aware of right now? And know that no matter where your mind has gone, no matter how distracted or fatigued you might feel, you can always start over in this moment. Feel this breath, this inhale, and this exhale. You can always arrive again in the present. And in this present moment with the body, see if you can invite in a deep sense of stillness on the exhale. Let your exhale help you just sink into that support of the earth. There's a beautiful quote from Ajahn Chah who says, "Be the still forest pool, welcoming all the magical creatures." And that's the invitation, to be that still forest pool, all the magical creatures of thoughts and feelings and sensations arise, and just notice them. Some of them might be persistent or sticky. Meet them with gentleness. Meet them with friendliness. And invite yourself back to that still forest pool of your breath and your body in this moment. And notice your breath here. Notice if there's any part of your body that feels warm and easeful. And on your inhale, breathe into that space. Breathe in that warmth and ease towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it extend out, let it expand out. Include your whole body, your belly and chest, hips and shoulders. Each inhale, draw in that warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it extend out from the hips down through the legs and feet, the shoulders down to the arms and hands, up through the neck, throat, and head. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. Take it in. And on your exhale, let it expand, let it grow to include every cell, every muscle, every bone, all the way to the tips of your toes, the tips of your fingers, up to the crown of your head. Each inhale, draw in that warmth and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it extend out beyond your body, into the room, into the home, into the building you're in, to all the creatures you share space with, human and other than human beings. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it extend out, let it spill out the windows and doors onto the streets and sidewalks, to the homes and businesses, the highways and byways. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it extend out to the rivers, the streams, the lakes and the bay, and to the oceans. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it out to the forests, the mountains and hills, all the creatures that live there, the two-leggeds and four-leggeds and no-leggeds and many-leggeds, the finned ones and the winged ones and everyone in between. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it out. Imagine extending out through the whole community, across the continent, to the coastline, across the oceans, to cover the whole globe, the whole planet, the places remembered and forgotten. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself, and on your exhale, extend it out to this whole blue dot, the whole solar system, the galaxy and the galaxies beyond our galaxy, the universe and the universes beyond our universe. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it out in front of you and behind you, above you and below you, to the left and the right of you, infinitely in all directions. Let it reach out to all beings, everywhere. Welcome back. Yeah, just pause for a moment. Just notice how your energetic field feels just at the end of your practice. And then go ahead and stretch and move and do whatever would feel good in your body right now. Kind of gentle movement, maybe a little twist. And think of, you know, a word or phrase of like how you're feeling right now, what's settled or moving, and feel free to add that into the chat. We'd love to kind of get a sense of where folks are right now. Feel free to share, put your voice in of where you are, how you're feeling in this moment. Ah, restful. Attempting to integrate, yeah, in process. At peace, more grounded, warm. Yeah. It is optional. There's no obligation. Intimacy with the world, warm, relaxed. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. It's nice to get a sense of where folks are. Yeah. So, Emiko, is there anything that I'm supposed to do right now that I'm not aware of? Okay, great. Just a little checking in. All right. So tonight, I just want to get us a little oriented right now into sort of time and space, planetary time and space. So one thing I like to keep track of myself is the moon. And we're in the waxing gibbous phase of the moon right now, which means the larger than half, right? That the moon is getting larger. It's moving into the full moon. We're also just a few weeks shy now, right? It's March 1st. Here we are in March already, the third month of the year, 2023. And we're just a few weeks shy of the first day of spring. We're nearly to the time of year where bears up in the north start to wake up from their hibernation and come out into the world. In where I live, there's daffodils and narcissus all over coming out. In other parts of the state and the country, there are people who are digging themselves out of multiple feet of snow at the moment. And there's a lot going on in the world right now. Right, that's aside from, you know, the wars and, you know, the global geopolitical climate crisis, right, all of that, there's a lot going on, including things like, you know, legislative attacks on trans kids, trans rights in general, right, bans on drag queens. Why would you ban drag queens? Right? Prohibitions on how queer folks, how we can identify ourselves, right? How Latinx folks can identify themselves. And even attempts to keep students from learning the truth about white supremacy in school. And so in the midst of all of that, right, I just want to acknowledge whatever you're holding in your own life and in your own heart right now. And whatever even like talking about these things like brings up for you, right? And I hope, my dearest hope is that you find some support in what we're talking about tonight. Find some support for yourself, for your whatever you're facing in your community. I hope that you find support in the Dharma. And tonight we're really talking about how to bring the Dharma in to support us in our everyday lives. Right, and especially in sort of the annoying, repetitive tasks that we do every day. And I have a lot of time to think about this because I spend a lot of time in my life cleaning, annoying, repetitive tasks. And some people might think that, you know, as a mindfulness teacher, I spend a lot of time like contemplating the world and drinking a turmeric tea and spending time communing with nature, right? And to be fair, like sometimes I do all those things, but every day, one of the things that I do every single day without fail is clean. I clean things, the countertop, the shower, the floors. Just this morning, I cleaned cat barf off of a brand new Ajahn Chah book. And I'm assuming that that was not like a feline commentary on the Thai forest tradition and my cat. I think it was just an upset stomach, right? And that's what I'm assuming. But especially during the COVID shutdown, my routine seemed to be just be an endless round of making breakfast, cleaning up breakfast, making lunch, cleaning up lunch, making dinner, cleaning up dinner. And don't forget the laundry, right? I call it in our house, I call it climbing Laundry Mountain. It's like my little family with all of our pets and all of our projects. We make a lot of dirty clothes. And a lot of my time is spent straightening as well. Like, and it doesn't hurt that my wife and my stepdaughter are sometimes they're just like little walking tornadoes of chaos, leaving like a debris field behind them that I like stroll behind them and just like sweeping up as they go. And to be fair, right? Sometimes I'm the chaos maker. I'm the tornado making the debris field, right? Especially when I'm like making art or cooking a big meal, right? And on it goes, like for almost 3 years now, right? Day in and day out. And to be clear, just to let you know, my whole life I've hated cleaning. Hated it. And I know some people love cleaning, right? Some people love cleaning. Maybe some of you here love cleaning, find it satisfying and rewarding. And I know people like who cleaning helps clear their mind, right? And I envy those people because I am not on team it's fun to clean. That is not my team. And part of what makes it hard is that my inner critic is pretty brutal while I'm cleaning. And it's not so much about the job that I'm doing, like the particular thing that I'm cleaning. It's like how I'm doing it. My inner critic like has like snipes at me all the time. It's like, why are you doing this? You're not very good at cleaning anyway. You never learned how to do it properly. You'll never get all that dirt out. You'll have to do it again tomorrow. Like it's just like yeah. It's like you spent all these years in school, like, and now look at you, you're cleaning. Like it's like my inner critic doesn't think that like everybody has to clean. And my inner critic, is really just a form of suffering. It's just one of the endless ways in which we find to give ourselves a hard time about just being human. And so I need a lot of tools, a lot of Dharma tools to help me with this, right? And I've been working for the last like almost 3 years now on changing my relationship to cleaning. And so it's good, it's good for you, right? Think about like what's your relationship to cleaning, right? Maybe you clean a little, maybe you're like me, you clean a lot. Maybe you have family or friends or roommates that you pick up after, maybe you live by yourself. Maybe you have work that involves cleaning. Maybe other people clean up after you, right? It's important for us to not forget to appreciate them. Maybe cleaning doesn't cause you suffering, but maybe there's some other part of daily life, some other repetitive, annoying task, right, that you have a lot of aversion or irritation around. And so it's this question, right? Where do you suffer in your own daily tasks of being human? And this is what we're working with tonight, right? How do we free ourselves from this particular form of suffering? Not by shirking our duties, not by foisting them off on others, right? But by meeting our aversion, like my aversion to cleaning, right? Meeting this aversion with mindfulness, meeting the inner critic with compassion. And in fact, if mindfulness plus compassion leads us to wisdom, right? What if cleaning is a path to awakening? There you go. That's interesting, right? What if mindfully and compassionately engaging in our daily tasks could be a path to enlightenment? And it's not such a far out idea, right? Stay with me with this, right? Because have you ever heard of Deepa Ma, the teacher Deepa Ma from India? So she's one of my favorites. She's famous and humble teacher from India. She's in Calcutta, and she was a teacher of Jack Kornfield, of Sharon Salzberg, some of the like very famous teachers that we know. She didn't live in an ashram. She didn't teach at a temple. She didn't follow the mainstream idea of what it meant to be a spiritual practitioner or a spiritual teacher in the world. Instead, she taught and practiced in her own home as a householder teacher, and most of her students were Calcutta housewives, women who ran homes and businesses, taking care of their families and households. And she put them on a path to enlightenment by just teaching them to be aware and mindful of their daily lives: cleaning, childcare, sewing, cooking, balancing the accounts, dealing with the relationships between family members, right? Enlightenment through the daily business of life. And she was known as somebody who was enlightening Calcutta housewives. I love that. I love that that was her work. And it's something that I find very reassuring, right? If the housewives of Calcutta could become enlightened this way just 30 years ago, right? Why not you and me in front of our own sinks of dirty dishes? Why not? And speaking of Ajahn Chah said he was a great master of the Thai forest tradition. And he said to not think of our cleaning tasks as crude or menial work. Rather, you should understand that they are the most refined. Each activity done fully, mindfully, for its own sake, is an expression of our practice, of our dharma. And so it's an invitation to fully integrate our practice into our lives, that even the seemingly most trivial actions can reflect our dharma practice, can be a tiny mirror showing us how we're showing up in the world. And there's a koan in the Zen tradition, right? Before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. Right? And there you go, right? Jack Kornfield is known for saying there's no enlightened retirement, right? There's still wood to chop, still water to carry, still dishes to wash, still laundry mountains to climb. After and through and in the midst of our practice, right? Our life isn't separate from practice. Our practice isn't separate from life. Here's one of the things that brought me a lot of reassurance. So early on in the pandemic, I would be out like weed whacking in the backyard, and I listened to the audiobook version of The Life of Milarepa, who is he's one of the great Tibetan saints. And it's the Life of Milarepa is considered to be one of the great Buddhist texts from the Tibetan tradition. And he became enlightened in one lifetime after having been a murderer. So this is like, if it's possible for him, right? And it's really worth reading. But one part of the story that really struck me was that the book described like this important ceremony that the angels and devas and bodhisattvas and buddhas attend. They were honoring the death of this great teacher. And the story talks about how the devas, who are like, I think of them as like small deities or like little fairies who live in the deva realms, like a heavenly realm, that the devas decorated this great hall in preparation for the ceremony. And the description goes into really elaborate detail about all of the decorations and flags and parasols and banners with all kinds of symbolism on them. And then they talk about the whole ceremony. And then the story goes on. At the end of the ceremony, the devas come back into the hall and they pack up all the decorations and they sweep the floor clean. And I was like, whoa, the devas go back to the hall and clean? What? Even devas have to clean? And honestly, I felt so much better after that. I was like, so sometimes when I'm cleaning in my kitchen, I remind myself, like, Kimber, even the devas have to clean. And I think of it sometimes as like, Kimber, even divas have to clean. Right? Even beings from the heavenly realms have to clean up sometimes. Right? I hope you find this reassuring too. And another tool that I use is this remembering, this mindfulness, right? Of reminding myself, why am I doing this? Right? I'm cleaning to keep my family healthy, to maintain a beautiful space to live and create memories and happiness in. I'm doing laundry so that my wife and daughter can safely cover their bodies in clothes that are clean and soft and enjoyable. Like reminding myself of why I'm doing it. It really helps the work carry the sense of meaning and purpose and keeps it connected to the people who I love. Another piece of this, and this is working with like non-attachment and impermanence, right, is I have to work on not becoming attached to the clean space, right? Because sometimes I walk into what was a clean kitchen just an hour ago and I find a giant mess. And the truth is, right, and this is one of the things I have to remind myself of, Kimber, there is no end to cleaning, right? There's no enlightened cleaning retirement. I clean in order to make space for the next mess, right? Not to keep things permanently clean. There is no permanent cleanliness. It's like celebrate the mess, clean it up, make room for the next one, right? And this is equanimity towards impermanence. And I think sometimes as queer folk, we can think of one of our roles in society, actually, just like I find, to clear out the dust bunnies and the pet fur from underneath all the places, I think one of our roles in society is to peer into the neglected corners of our wider culture and notice what needs to be given attention and care and sparkle and love. Right, we need to turn towards the neglected corners within ourselves too. Right, what feelings, what trauma, what wounds need turn towards within ourselves? What needs our own care and healing? What needs our collective care and healing? And there's a quote I love from Zen teacher Suzuki Roshi, and maybe you've heard it before. I'll paraphrase it. You are perfect just the way you are, and you could use a little improvement. You are perfect just the way you are, and you could use a little improvement. Right? It's funny, but like, how does it make sense? And I like to think of it, and this is something that comes from the yoga tradition that I've studied in for many, many years, is to think of yourself as a mirror. As like a clear, shining mirror, like reflecting beautifully everything around you. And over time, even the most perfect mirror without cleaning, right, gathers dust on the surface. It makes it hard to see clearly, and given enough time and zero cleaning, right, it eventually it'll be impossible to see anything in it or even know or remember that it's a mirror, right? Still perfect underneath all that dust. And it's no one's fault that the mirror gathers dust. It's just part of life, right? It's the truth of change, the truth of entropy, right? The second law of thermodynamics says that generally speaking, disorder always increases. And so that's like the junk drawer, the closet, the garage, right? It's not our fault that things get messy, right? But in order to clean up the inevitable mess, we have to add work. So it's good to remember you are the perfect mirror already. In Buddhism, we think of this as like you have Buddha nature. It's unchanged, unchangeable. And the improvement, right, is just cleaning off the dust, cleaning off the dust from the heart. And it's part of life that things get dirty, right? We forget our inherent goodness, our inherent perfection, our unconditioned capacity for awakening. We forget our Buddha nature because life's changes are constantly tossing dust on the mirror of our seeing our own wholeness. And so we have to clean it off. Right? And our meditation practice is designed to help clean the mirror of the self so you can see yourself more clearly, to see that you're an amazing being made of light and energy. You are this miraculous corner of the universe that goes by your name. You're a shooting star taking a lifetime to streak across the night sky. And every day we clean our mirror when we pause and remember the truth of who we are. And sometimes we forget, and maybe we forget a lot, and maybe we forget for a long time. Right? There's a story from many years ago that a group of Thai monks, they needed to relocate a brightly painted clay Buddha from its ancient site to a new location on their temple grounds. And when they were trying to move it, it was a really rainy day. And in the process of lifting the statue, it started to crack. And so the monks were really worried. And so they stopped their work for the day. They covered it with tarps. And later that night, the head monk went out to check on the statue to just make sure it was still covered and safe. And when he shined his flashlight under the tarp, he saw a glint of light sparkle back at him. And he peered into the crack in the statue with his flashlight, and he saw a glint of gold. And the next day, they removed the tarp and examined the statue, and they realized something amazing. It turns out that the brightly painted clay concealed a solid gold Buddha statue that had been disguised hundreds of years ago to prevent it from being stolen during a war. And then it had been forgotten. And that golden Buddha, right, it's such a good metaphor for our own Buddha nature, which can be hidden under all the masks and all the conditioning, all the ways we disguise and protect ourselves. But your true nature has been there all along, shining brightly inside you, waiting for you to remember it, waiting to crack open and reveal its beauty and its goodness. So it's good to remember. I've got my cat who's just jumped here into my lap for a moment. Just you can say hi. So it's good to ask yourself, right, what is the clay that has kept you from remembering who you truly are? All the forgetting, all the habits, all the things we've been taught and learned about ourselves and life. All the ways we forget our worthiness, all the ways we are taught to believe in our unworthiness, all the self-criticism, all the judgment, all the heartbreak, all the harm built until we forget our true nature. But it's all dust on the mirror. It's all clay over our golden Buddha nature. And our practice helps us crack ourselves open again, helps us wash ourselves clean, helps us feel again, helps us see ourselves clearly. It's this beautiful phrase from the Tibetan Book of the Dead, "O nobly born, remember who you truly are." So why not let cleaning be part of this cleansing process? Right? To let your everyday tasks help you remember who you are. To let them be a part of your practice. Right? Whatever your everyday tasks are, can you let them be your path to awakening? And so for me, let's look at like cleaning the kitchen and how we might cultivate what are called the seven factors of awakening. And If you were here a few weeks ago, you know that that Ryan talked some about the seven factors of awakening. So this is like bringing them into this particular practice. And you can think about how you might use these seven qualities to shift your relationship with irritating, repetitive tasks and transform them into practice. I mean, if we have to do them anyway, right? Why not do them as practice? Why not invite in the qualities that we want to cultivate into the daily tasks of our lives? And so I'm going to put into the chat the seven factors of awakening right now. I'll also speak them out loud for everyone so that you can refer to them as I'm going through them. And think about how you might want to apply them in your own life. This will make it easier for if anybody's actually taking notes as well. So the seven factors of awakening are mindfulness, investigation, energy, joy, tranquility, concentration, and equanimity. And so here we go. I'm going to apply these to like me cleaning the kitchen, right? This daily task. Right. So first, mindfulness, right? And this is like me noticing the task, noticing my irritation about the task, right? Noticing any judgments that are arising. I want to notice what's happening in my body and in my breath. And notice with a sense of curiosity and interest, right? Notice the aversion, the thoughts, all those overthinking, thinky thoughts. Of the grudgments, right? Grudgments are that special combination of judgment and grudges and resentment that can build up around a task that we have to do all the time, right? And you can see how this mindfulness leads into the next quality, which is investigation. And investigation means that I'm going to look at where I'm caught up in aversion. I'm going to notice the energy behind it. The intensity, the upset. I'm going to notice how sticky this feeling is, right? How hard it is to let go. And investigation also helps me remember that I have tools like the breath, like letting go of thoughts, like offering myself compassion and loving kindness that can all support me in this task, right? So then, our investigation leads into energy. So each one of these kind of leads into the next one. And energy means that I commit myself to putting effort into the task of overcoming my aversion, right? Or meeting my aversion, getting to know that aversion, as well as into the task itself. Because if I don't put in that energy, I'll just revert into my usual habits and patterns, right? And so the energy helps me, right? It supports me to find a different way to relate to the task in front of me. And then joy is our next one. And joy can be challenging, right? Especially when we're talking about irritating, repetitive tasks. And, you know, I've already admitted that joy is not my go-to emotion when I'm cleaning the kitchen. But I can reconnect to it, right? When I remember who I'm doing it for, right? It's the why. Remembering how good it will feel to have a clean kitchen, enjoying even having a kitchen to clean, right? Not something to take for granted. Enjoying having people I love to feed and clean up after, having clean, fresh water to wash with, having hot water that turns on with just the flip of a faucet. That's pretty amazing. And then joy can lead us into tranquility. And tranquility arises once I've connected to the larger reason, right? The purpose of the task, right? Then I can get into this flow, sense of tranquility in action, right? Finding ease around the purpose. And it's such a relief. The tranquility for me really arises when my inner critic is no longer running the show, right? And instead, I can just be present, present with the pots and the pans, present without so much irritability and aversion. And then the tranquility can lead us into concentration. And the concentration arises when I'm just in that flow, just present with the task, focused one step at a time until it's complete. And finally, we arrive at equanimity. And equanimity is just that sense of like, ah, yes, this task is complete, but recognizing, right, the state of cleanliness I've created is only temporary, and that's okay. Right? I create cleanliness and order in order to make space for more mess, for more creativity. Right? There's no eternal state of cleanliness that I'm going to arrive at and be able to maintain. The kitchen will get messy again, and that's okay. I'll share with you this poem from Susan Wood called Daily Life. She says, "A parrot of irritation sits on my shoulder, pecks at my head, ruffling his feathers in my ear. He repeats everything I say like a child trying to irritate the parent. Too much to do today. The houseplant that's outgrown its pot, a mountain of bills to pay, and nothing in the house to eat. Too many clothes need washing, and the dog needs his shots. It just goes on and on, I say to myself, no one around, and catch myself saying it. A ball hits so straight to your glove, you'd have to be blind not to catch it. And of course, I hope it does go on and on forever. The little pain, the little pleasure, the sun, a blood orange in the sky parrot blue, and the day unfolding like a bird slowly spreading its wings. Though I know, saying it, that it won't." I like that idea of the little parrot as my inner critic. And this is the thing about daily tasks. It's another way that they can lead to our awakening. At the very same moment that you are doing any chore, taking care of any responsibility, millions of people all over the world are doing the same thing. Maybe even having that same parrot of irritability on their shoulder. The act of washing the dishes in your kitchen, cleaning the litter box, sweeping the floor, scrubbing the tub, you are not alone. Not even in your irritation. You're connected to every other human being on earth doing the same thing right now. And so to let your everyday tasks be a reminder that you're not separate. You're never truly alone. No matter how much distance there is physically or emotionally between you and the person closest to you, you're even connected to the devas. In the heavenly realms, right? Cleaning up the temple after the ritual, right? Even devas, even divas have to clean. I love this. Teacher and elder Margarita Loynez, she says, "Everything is broadcasting enlightenment." Everything. Even cleaning the kitchen. Even doing whatever task you dislike the most. Right? They're not obstacles. They're the path. And there's an old story, and I hope that you'll permit me the liberty of querying this story up nicely. There's a story about an old woman who left her wife and her home to go on a spiritual journey, seeking great teachers in faraway places. And she would go from one teacher to the next, finding some truth, but always looking for the next teaching and the next greater teacher. And she would ask each teacher where she should go next on her quest. Until one day she found that she was back in her own village. And she couldn't believe it. So she asked someone nearby if they knew where this greatest teacher of all lived. And they led her down her own street. And she soon found herself on her own doorstep, looking at her own wife. "And here she is. Here she is," said her guide, "the greatest teacher of all. All that time away, and she needn't have looked further than her own hearth. And it's that reminder, right? You don't have to go far. The Dharma can help you awaken wherever you are, with whoever you're with whatever you're doing. And so to let the seven factors of awakening, right, be inspiration for changing maybe your relationship to daily chores, right? This understanding that awakening doesn't just happen on our cushions, but here in front of our own hearth. So I really want to invite you to leave here whatever doesn't serve you, take with you whatever resonates with the wisdom in your own heart. I want to offer a lot of gratitude to my teachers and my dear Sangha siblings and family. Gratitude to the lineage and the ancestors, the indigenous stewards of this land on which we live. And so just for a moment here, let's pause and feel into our bodies. Notice how all this has landed for you in your body, in your heart. And to ask yourself, right, how can you bring the qualities of awakening to your daily life tasks? And even, you know, is there a particular quality from that list that I put in the chat? Is there a particular quality you'd like to bring to a particular task? And how is this task broadcasting enlightenment? May the goodness and wholesomeness of our practice together this evening be of benefit to ourselves and each other. May it be healing for our communities and the communities beyond our communities. May it help ripple out in all directions to relieve the suffering of those who are ill, isolated, incarcerated. May this practice, in whatever way possible, lead to liberation for all beings everywhere.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.